uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Let's pray. Father, we pray for your preaching, presence, and power. We pray that the Holy Spirit will speak with crystal clarity and convict in our hearts and minds of the truth of the cross of Christ, its sufficiency for us, that it is the power unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and then to the non-Jew. We thank you for the righteousness that comes through thy gospel that's imputed unto us, and that you see us as if we've never sinned. Words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. The Lord, our strength, my Redeemer, speak, Lord, your people are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. In Christianity, the cross is the main thing. The cross is the center and circumference of the Christian faith. What Jesus satisfied and gained at the cross is the main thing. Without it, there is no power, no freedom, no forgiveness, no acceptance, no authority, no strength, no victory, and no lasting purpose at all. If we leave out the cross, we are only left with the empty shell called religion. Essentially, we have made the cross nothing more than a replica to induce guilt rather than what it is, the single greatest affirmation and demonstration of pure love. Far too many Christians view the cross as an historical event that will take them to heaven, rather than as a current event wielding everything they need to bring heaven to bear on earth. Whenever religious activity, however sincere, trumps relationship, the power of Christ is no longer experienced in the believer's life. The key to the cross is not the two beams of wood, one vertical and one horizontal. The key to the cross is the one who hung on the cross as a sinless sacrifice. Let's consider the provisions of the cross of Christ for the following things. First provision, the cross is central to the Christian. Central. It's the center of the Christian life. Paul wrote to the Galatians in large letters that he boasted only in the cross of Christ. In Galatians 6:14, he says, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." The cross is central to the Christian experience, to Christian growth and maturity. It's the center, the power source of our ability to live like Christ and love like Christ and forgive like Christ and witness like Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ." There goes man. The cross is central to the Christian life. It's not for Paul in a personal testimony. It's for every true believer. We have all been crucified with Christ if we are in Christ. He says, "It's no longer I who live," includes you, "but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the natural, in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself." apply the cross to our attitudes and our affections and our actions, our conduct, our character, and our conversation. Jesus said this in Luke 9:23. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. The cross is central to the Christian and to the Christian faith. Secondly, the cross provides power, dunamis. It's God's ability at work in you and me. How many times does a Christian have to say, I'm so tired? I can't even pray today. I'm so tired. I don't think I can make it to study. I'm so worn out. I don't think I'm going to church this morning. I'm so this. I'm not going to witness today. I'm so this. I don't think I'm going to act like a Christian today. I'm tired of doing good and people still doing me wrong. We lack what? We lack that God-ordained ability to be like Christ no matter the condition, no matter the circumstance, no matter the turbulence. We're still going to remain Christ-like in our character and our conversation. Someone says that color is what God chooses, our skin color, but character is what we choose. I like that. Character is what you choose. You can't choose your color, but you can choose your character. Right? So the power of the cross is salvific, is delivering, is sanctifying, is justifying, is adopting, is acceptance. It's the ability to live out what God in Christ accomplished for us at the cross. We can have victory over our habits, over our child rearing, over our behavior. We can control the flesh. We can resist the flesh. We can walk in self-control empowered by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the same gospel that saves us sustains us until we're glorified. So if you're weak today, rehearse the gospel. Understand what the gospel means. Make that journey into a deeper understanding of the cross and the resurrection to the degree that it alters you. It's more than words. It's the power of God unto salvation. So whenever you hear Christians complaining about their lack of Christ-likeness, it's only because their lack of deeper understanding of the gospel. Look at Galatians 3. The church at Galatia looked to their flesh, their abilities, instead of Christ's power. In Galatians 3, 1-3, it says, O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you? Who has cast a spell on you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you this, only this. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, by the healing of faith? You answer the question. Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? G.K. Chesterton states, the Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried. Why? Because you need the power of the gospel to live out the reality of that gospel in one's life. You just can't do this by rote. You know, remembering this, remembering that. You can't be spiritual just because you memorize the Bible. Or even that you do meditate on the Bible. Or even that you hear the Bible. Or even that you read the Bible. It's that you believe the Bible. Many of us believe in God. That's theology. Even Satan believes in God. Demons believe in God. But do you believe God? Many say, I believe in what the Bible says, but many don't believe what God says in the Bible. There's a difference between believing in God and believing God. Abraham believed God. And it was accounted to him as righteousness. See, we've got a lot of Christians who are claiming to believe in, but not believe God. This lacks power. For the word of the cross, the message of the cross, is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It's the power of God. So if you have a hard time forgiving, if you have a hard time forbearing, if you have a hard time putting up with, it's because you lack power. You lack power because you want to defend yourself. You lack power. We think defending oneself is power, but it's weakness. Because to follow Christ, you can't defend everything people say to you, or you'll go crazy. So you just forgive the person and move on. You forbear with the person and move on. You put up with them and move on. You can't get rid of them. If you do that, now you're walking in areas of judicial stuff like murder or intent. Can't get rid of them, so you just got to live with them. You know what I mean? You lack the power. Our ability to be, to not demonstrate Christ in our relationships is our inability to fully grasp the power of the cross. Y'all with me? Now, these professing believers were choosing religion over relationship. In school, we may be asked to write a research paper to accomplish this assignment. We perform due diligence. We control the material. We analyze all the arguments. And after our hard work, we feel great about our paper. Amen? Now, suppose we get our paper back and our professor has given us a big fat red zero at the top, along with a smaller note at the bottom scroll. Great work. Great preparation. Wrong assignment. Listen to me. It wasn't that out there saying it. He says he overcame pornography because he started tithing. It's foolishness. Give me a break. He said tithing was the window that poured out all the blessings on him that stopped him from being a slave to pornography. That's terrible to tell a congregation. No, you got to tell the whole world. Fool. It's foolish. Galatians 5:4 says, you are severed or estranged from Christ, you who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. He's not saying they're unsaved. He's saying, your power source is cut off. You can't walk in the flesh and glorify God. You can't experience the fellowship of God, the power of God, the presence of God, because you're doing it in your flesh. Sister Kim Burrell, who's a Christian singer, was leading a song, and someone started singing along with her. She said, shut up, right now. This is my personal song. This is my anointing. You just shut up and listen to me sing. Don't be singing along with me. I don't need your help. Now, she sang this to a woman in the local church worshiping God on a Sunday morning. This is all known. They showed it on Facebook. They showed it on Snapchat and Instagram. It's all out there to see the foolishness that goes on in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be disturbing me. I'm on the anointing. That's terrible. So, what I'm saying is that when you get caught up in you and your abilities and living the Christian life, you cut yourself off from this power. That's what Paul is saying here in verse 4. You have fallen away from grace. So electricity is the flow of power that makes everything in your house work. Virtually everything in your house operates because of electricity. Your appliances, your lights, your heat, your air conditioning, your computers, your television, and many things work because they are receiving electricity. If you are severed from electricity, the flow of the power stops, even though you still possess the TV, the lights, the heater, the air conditioning, the unit, the computers, the television, and everything else is still working. says in Galatians 6:14, be, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Let yourself be spiritually crucified with Christ. Paul says there are two crucifixions need to occur, Jesus and yours. Paul was crucified to all things belonging to the world system. This is accomplished by aligning oneself with Christ more. The more I align with Christ, the more I separate myself from the things of the world. By virtue of disalignment, I don't have to curse at the darkness. I just get closer to the light. And as I get closer to the light, I'm away from the darkness. I don't have to say anything to the darkness. I don't have to curse the darkness. I just get closer and closer to the light. And by virtue of that, there's a disconnect. I'm dying. Being crucified with Christ creates a disconnect from this world's order and subsequent attachment, and it creates an alignment with Christ himself. Crucifixion involves no longer living a worldly life that leaves God out. Church folks are notorious for leaving God out. The world is obvious, but he's talking about the thinking. Peter told Jesus, you ain't going to die. I'll protect you. I'll fight for you. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Now we would say, why would Jesus so mean? Why is he so cruel? Why did he say that to Peter? Was just saying, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to be with you. But that's not the reason for Jesus coming, is to be protected. He came to be crucified and to rise from the dead. You're stopping the purpose of God when you try to stop me from doing what God called me to do. Peter had a worldly mind, a satanic mindset. He didn't understand the purpose. Jesus said, I came into this world just to see that which is lost, to give my life a ransom for many. You can't stop me from doing that. It may feel humanitarian to do so, but it's not theological and biblical to do so. You can't get Jesus on the cross and then want to pull him off the cross. Then you can seal your fate for eternal damnation. Not his. He came to die for you. Let him die. Let him rise again. Let him conquer death, hell, and the grave so that I can have the victory. We always say, you know the book of Revelation, in the end we win. Well, we can start winning now by walking in that victory that he's already provided. Says, I died to this world. This world died to me. This is a world. It's an organized system. An arrangement designed to promote a specific philosophy. Humanism. Secularism. Any ism, put it there. For example, we will often talk about the world of sports, and the world of finance, the world of politics. These phrases are not referencing a location, a place, or a people. They're referencing a system, a philosophy, an ideal, inclusive of certain regulations and philosophical worldviews. When Paul states that he has been crucified with Christ, he is saying that he is no longer alive to this world's way of thinking. Because this world's way of thinking is to leave God out. Kick him out this morning. Kick him out your bed. Kick him out your house. Kick him out your politics. Kick him there's power in the resurrection. The cross represents the moment-by-moment